Welcome to this week's episode of the Casual Shooters Podcast, your premier podcast for the casual shooter. This week, you get two guests for the price of one. They are the rarest of rare. Not only are they women, they're Asian women. One of them is even a Team Glock member. So join me in welcoming to the show, Jen Tang Nguyen and T. No. How are you ladies doing?
We are good.
Doing good.
Thanks. Excellent. Thanks for being on. I think your camera is camera shy. It kind of froze up right when I moved you guys on stage. All right. If you ladies would, take a moment and introduce yourselves, and we'll, as I'm looking at it, since T's on the left, we'll start with T.
I'm actually sitting on the right, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm all backwards with my screen.
Yep. So my name is T. Ngo. I've been shooting since 2020, so about 4 years now. Got into USPSA after like 2-3 months of purchasing my first handgun, which was for self-defense. And then right now I'm shooting carry optics. I'm an A-class shooter, and I'm one of the newest members of Team Glock.
Excellent. Jen?
I also started about the same time as T. Well, we actually started together, so same, about 4 years. We started June 2020. Right now I'm shooting open. I'm B-class, and yeah.
Okay. All right. There was something I was going to write down, something you said, T. What did you say at the beginning of your intro again?
My name is T. Ngo.
Right after that.
I don't remember. I started shooting 2020.
Right.
And I purchased my first handgun in 2020 for self-defense.
That's what it was. Okay. All right. So what I normally like to do, ladies, is I like to hit you with all the hard questions right up front, get everybody warmed up, the audience knows who you are, and then we get into the easy stuff after that. Well, we're going to start with Jen on this one. Jen, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
What? I wasn't expecting that.
Sounds like it may not be your favorite movie. Is that what you're saying, T?
No, it's just I've seen the movie, and it's a cool movie. I just didn't think that was one of her favorites.
It's one of my favorites.
So what is it about that you like?
I like the kung fu in it, and then also it's just very cinematic. Like, it's a really good story. The acting and the actors, it's a really great movie overall.
All right, T, what about you?
My favorite movie would be, so I have two favorite movies, so it depends on who's listening to this. So if Kevin Leonhardt, which is Morgan's dad, is listening to this, then my favorite movie is Wreck-It Ralph. there's a story behind that, but we don't need to get into it. So Kevin, if you're listening, that's my favorite movie. But my real favorite movie would be Interstellar. It's a Christopher Nolan movie. I like a lot of Christopher Nolan movies because he always puts like some mind-twisty plot to it. The cinematics are really good. The music by Hans Zimmer is really, really good. And it's like kind of puts you in like a dreamlike trance, I guess, with the music. It's really, really good.
Is that with Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
I actually saw that recently, this year.
This year?
I saw that. Yeah. That is a very good movie.
It's a good movie. And I think like, the second time you watch it, it gets better because you miss a lot of things in the first part. And I think every single time you watch it, it just gets better and better. You just start to understand things a little bit more. Definitely needs like a YouTube explained video to really understand what's going on. But it's a work of art, really.
Okay. It is very cinematic. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. Okay. Since we started with Jen on the movie, we're going to start with T on the next one. And that is, I have found that not many people read books anymore. But if you have read a book, which one's your favorite?
Yeah, I haven't really read much in a while, but the most recent one that comes to mind would be With Winning in Mind by Lanny Basham. And that's a book that's kind of helped me with my shooting mental game. And I refer back to it pretty often, like when I'm feeling, you know, not confident in my shooting, or if I'm not shooting the way that I expect to or something like that, I'll, you know, I have it on audiobook, so I'll play it in the car and listen to that every so often.
Jen?
I'm going to say the Harry Potter series, because I've read that like over and over, and I was just obsessed when I was a kid, and, you know, the movies came out, but it's always going to be one of my favorite books.
Okay, so now we have to draw a comparison between the book and the movies. Which one's better?
Of course the books. It's the original.
How much more detail is in the books than what you see in the movies?
Oh, so much more. I mean, you know, the movies, they have to like, I feel like with the movies, they try to like squish everything into, you know, like an hour or two. So they miss a lot of the details, which makes it great. So.
All right. So you've read them all, huh?
Yeah. Multiple times.
That's a lot of books. I don't know if you guys are into superheroes. Me, not really. But if you are, who is your favorite superhero? If not, who's your favorite historical figure? And we're back to T.
Oh, it's me. I think, so like with the Marvel movies, I think Robert Downey Jr. really made Iron Man one of my favorites. I like his wittiness, and he's just like normal guy. He's not like super, he doesn't have superpowers or anything. He's just a human being, but he's rich, really witty, really innovative, and he pretty much single-handedly defeated Thanos. So, spoiler alert.
All right, Jen.
Mine, I don't have one single favorite superhero, but the X-Men series is probably my favorite.
Okay. I'm getting a trend here, Jen. You like series and large numbers, not individual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Teamwork.
There you go. All right. So, Jen, we're back to you on this one. Favorite gun, favorite caliber. They don't have to be married together.
My favorite gun. That's a tough one. It's going to be between my CZ Shadow 2 and my Infinity Open Gun. They're both like really fun to shoot. Like my CZ2, it's like simple and, you know, like a good go-to gun. But then like the open gun is just like so nice and fun to shoot, and you can go fast. So
you use CZ for open and carry optics?
No. For carry optics, I have my CZ Shadow 2. And then for open, I shoot an Infinity.
Oh, okay. T?
Favorite gun would be my Glock 43X. That was the first gun I purchased, and it's, you know, with me every single day. It's my everyday carry, and so I have to make it my favorite, right? And favorite caliber would be 9mm. I haven't really shot really anything else except for 9mm, so yeah, I'll stick with 9mm.
Jen, is that your favorite caliber as well?
Yeah, I mean, kind of same thing. I've mostly only shot 9mm and then like 38 super comp, but 9mm is just easy to get, simple.
What is, this one's for both of you, and that would be, what is your favorite gun experience together?
What should we talk about, like when we first started?
I guess that would be it.
Yeah. So we got into competition shooting because I guess we started, like I bought my first carry gun in like March or something, March 2020. And Jen and I were friends before that. We used to like hang out with our dogs all the time. And then we went on a road trip together, and I told Jen, I was like, hey, I just bought my first carry gun. And she was like, ooh, I've had my license to carry for a while. Let me try yours out. And then she ended up buying her own carry gun as well, like a month later.
Yeah. So then we hit the range like every day together. Well, not every day, but like three or four times a week together. And then we just started practicing. And so after that, we got invited to one of Ryan Wilkes's practice matches or practice days. And then after that, we kind of got hooked.
Yeah, we kind of like, we pretty much learned how to shoot guns together. Like, it was just the two of us. We watched a lot of YouTube videos, and we would go to like Instagram to look at, you know, like information and find books and everything that can, you know, teach us how to shoot. And then, I don't know, I think like that, like having someone like Jen along the journey, like just really, it made it more accessible and easier to get into the sport or get into shooting in general, and just like kind of built confidence together.
Yeah, it was like nice having a partner in crime, you know, and then like, it's kind of nerve wracking, like showing up to a sport with all men mostly, and then kind of being new at it too. So
I imagine it had to be easier going to a match together as women versus just going into one by yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'd always be like, hey, are you interested in doing this? And
like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was always easier to have someone to do it with you versus just going by yourself, for sure.
Okay, before we go any further though, I have to ask, what in the world is bubble tea?
We actually got some right before this.
okay.
Wait, have you ever had bubble tea? Never.
I literally have no idea what bubble tea is. That's why I'm asking. I happen to see a post on Instagram. I have no idea what that is. Bubble tea.
So usually it's like, I don't know, it stems from like Taiwan or something, maybe somewhere in China. But the little black, it's a tea drink. So it could just be like a flavored tea, like jasmine green tea, and has some sugar in there for some sweetness. And the little black balls on the bottom are called boba, which is just tapioca pearls. So it's like when you drink it, you get like a little bit of tapioca every single sip. It's a little chewy bubble or boba.
It's like having a snack in your drink.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I get the B and ABGs now too.
Oh, so you found...
Well, I have become... Please don't take this the wrong way, but as a podcaster trying to do research on people, you almost feel like a stalker. So like I was like going through stuff. I'm like, ABGs, what is this? And I'm like, boba, what is boba? So there you go. I don't even have to ask the question later. Now I know.
Humble beginnings.
Yep.
Is that what that was?
Fun though.
It was fun.
Really fun.
Yeah.
It didn't last that long, but it was fun.
Well, it's still there for the world to see. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, normally when I interview someone individually, I go back into their, I start at the very beginning, like, did they shoot guns as a child? But obviously it seems like you guys didn't start shooting till later in life. But before you started shooting, how did you two meet?
Can you tell it?
Yeah, you could tell the story. It's so pretty funny.
I slid into T's DMs.
Wait, not you. Not you.
So... I have a dog. I have a couple of dog Instagrams. My little Yorkie I had was like Insta famous. He has like 25,000 followers. And so I made a German Shepherd Instagram for my German Shepherd. And one of my employees was like a mutual friend with T. And he's like, hey, did you know T just got a German Shepherd puppy? And so I had a German Shepherd. I think she was like 2 years old maybe. And so I was like, oh no, but I was like, I know her sister because T's sister went to school with me. So I was like, oh, I was like, I know who she is, but I don't like really know her. And so I looked her up on Instagram, kind of stalked her. And I was like, oh my gosh, her puppy's so cute. I was like, I really want to play with it. So I went on my dog's Instagram and messaged her.
Was it messaged my dog's Instagram.
I was like, hey, I see you have a German Shepherd puppy. I have a German Shepherd too. Would you want to go to the dog park sometime? So, and she said yes. So, you know.
Yeah, we met up.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. We met up at the dog park and we've been hanging out ever since.
So I assume you still have the dogs?
Yes.
Yeah, mine is 6 years old, going on 7 this year.
Yeah, I think she's 7 going on 8 or something. She's 8. She's 8, I think. But they love each other a lot.
They're besties.
So you said that you guys were going on a road trip and you're like, hey, look what I bought. Glock 43. How does that conversation, I mean, had you guys talked about shooting or guns or self-defense, anything like that before?
No.
No, not really. So I think like 2 years, 2 or 3 years prior, which would have been 2017, 2018, my sister found a Groupon for a LTC class. So it was like a really good deal. It was two for, like, I don't know, two for 50 bucks, something like that. It was really, really cheap. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so I got my license to carry, but I never like got into shooting after that because I was kind of scared still. So I think I waited until 2020 to actually buy my first gun, because that's whenever like COVID and stuff was happening, some weird things were happening with the world, and I was like, I should probably buy something to protect myself now. So that's when I told Jen, I was like, hey, we're going on this road trip, but by the way, I'm bringing a gun with me. But I remember, like, I didn't carry it or anything. I just left it in its original box, and I just stuffed it underneath my car chair, and just kind of left it as is. Didn't really touch it till like whenever Jen got her own gun.
Yeah, I remember, because she was like, hey, do you want to see my gun I bought? And I was like, yeah, let's see it. And she like pulled it out from under her car. She's like, come here. And then she pulled it out, and I was like, ooh, cool. She's like, you want to go shoot it sometime? I was like, yeah. So after that, I think we shot her gun for maybe like a week, and then I went out and bought mine. And then I was kind of pretty much the same exact thing. Like, I found a Groupon. I went with my brother-in-law to get my carry license, and then I had it for like at least 2 years before I finally bought one, because, you know, T had one. So I was like, oh, okay, we can do this together.
What was the delay between the LTC, your license to carry, and actually purchasing a gun to carry?
I think I just didn't have any guidance. I mean, my cousins own a lot of guns and they go hunting and stuff, but I didn't really like feel the need to protect myself at that point. There wasn't really anything like crazy going on. And I guess I was like, oh, you know, it'd be cool to have a license to carry and to know more about it. But it was also kind of scary to actually like carry a gun or something that could like take someone's life. So I kind of just like put it to the side.
Yeah. Same as me. Like, I was just kind of scared, and like, I've shot maybe a handful of times before that. But it was more of a social thing, but I never really shot to like practice and get good at it or anything like that. And every time I went to the range, I always had a lot of anxiety when shooting it in an indoor range. It's really loud, and like, man, this is a weapon that could take someone's life. So yeah, I was on the same boat as Jen. Like, I was just scared to actually get one and actually use it.
When you took the license to carry in Texas, did you have to show you're able to shoot a gun, or was it all classroom?
Yeah, we had to take a qualification, but I mean, I think it was like,
it's pretty easy.
Yeah, it was pretty
easy. Hard. It's pretty hard to fail that. Like, even me being a new shooter at the time, like, I was shooting iron sights and I still passed. I don't know what the score was, but it was like an overall pass. Pretty good.
So looking back on it now, where do you rate yourself and your comfort level with carrying every day versus when you first started?
10 out of 10.
Excellent. I like it. All right. So you guys started with buying guns for self-defense, and you went to the range and shot. How does that progress for you guys from, oh, I bought a Glock for carry and now I'm going to the range to shoot it, to, hey, why don't we start running around and shooting things as we're running?
It progressed really quickly.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. So let's see. We went on our trip February 2020, and then we started shooting. Our first practice match was May 31st. So we practiced just like shooting for fun for a few months until we were invited to this practice match. And like, I think after the practice match, we went like full send and we both got Shadow 2s. T got hers first and she let me shoot it. And I was like, oh my God, this thing is amazing. And we like ordered our belts before, like our belts and like all the gear before we even went to our first match. Yeah, we were 100% in.
So T, before you became Team Glock, did you guys shoot the same gun, have the same equipment, all of that?
Yeah, we both shot a CZ Shadow 2, and I think we did production at first. And I think I immediately went to a Red Dot to carry optics, like maybe 3 months after. I think Jen, on the other hand, stayed in production for like at least a year.
Yeah,
or
I tortured myself for a year before I before I switched. But I do shoot. My carry gun's a Sig P365, so we did go different ways on that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some differences here between the two of you.
We're
then.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
Not exactly twinning it, but.
Yeah. It's up like
all the time. Like even my boyfriend, I think you've met Ken before.
Yep.
he mixed Jen and I up before.
Yeah,
so.
Like he'll come up to me like at a match and he'll be like, "Oh, I thought you were twinning."
That's funny. Yes, Ken's supposed to be on next week, actually.
Yeah.
T, you just said you switched from production to carry optics in 3 months. So it sounds like February you started to get into it, or May of 2020 was your first like practice.
Yeah.
So I guess August, September timeframe, you switched to carry optics?
That sounds about right. Carry optics, yeah, for like 2-3 months or something like that. And then I went straight to open afterwards. I know. I was just like, I want to go faster. And so, yeah, I went from production for about 3 months and then carry optics for 3 months and then straight to open after that. And I think I did that for like a year and a half or 2 years. And then now back to carry optics, shooting with Glock.
Now, what did you start shooting in open?
I had an Atlas at first. I had an Atlas Chaos for open. And then I think after a year, I switched to an Infinity gun.
Now, Jen, what made you stay in production for a year and torture yourself?
I think I said I wanted to challenge myself and I wanted to get good at iron sights, but I never really got good at iron sights.
Feels good. Production. No, Jen is a really good shooter. She's like everyone always says that Jen is super accurate, but I'm like, I know how to move fast around the stage. So if like we combined ourselves together, then we'd be like the perfect female shooter. Accuracy.
Wonder twins activate. Yeah.
We just need to like merge.
Yeah.
Powers.
When you finally switched out of production, was it to the SIG?
No. The SIG is just my carry gun. So I put a dot on my Shadow 2. And then I did carry optics for about a year and a half. And then I found a good deal. Well, I wasn't planning to go to open. Michael Bathon was like, "Hey," because I shot T's open gun for the first time, and I was just like, "The best thing ever." And so Michael, I saw me post that video where I shot her gun for the first time, and I was like, "Oh, it's just so much fun." And he's like, "Hey, I have an open gun for you," and I was like, "No. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not spending money on an open gun. I'm good." But I'm a sucker for like really good sales and deals, and so he gave me a really.
And there was a Groupon.
Something like that. So,
yeah. I remember Jen was always like, she always pushed me away whenever I asked her to shoot my gun, like my open gun. She was like, "I know that I'm going to want to buy it if I shoot yours." And so I finally convinced her to shoot my Infinity open gun, and she just fell in love with it immediately. So,
yeah.
So are both open guns 38 Super Comp?
Yeah.
No 9 Major. That's good. That stuff's ridiculously loud.
Yeah, I did shoot 9 Major with my Atlas at the time. But yeah, I switched to 38. It's still equally as loud, I feel.
38 is pretty loud.
I feel like, maybe it's just a compensator, but I feel like when I've been around 9 Major open guns, they seem to have a little bit more concussive effect and a little bit louder. So, but who knows? I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know who Chris Gelnett is?
Yes, I do. He shoots a little shorty.
Well, you got to stay away from that gun. That gun is stupid loud and it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's got to be the compensator that he runs on that gun. It's got to be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
T, I know you're a Team Glock shooter, but are either of you guys in the firearms business? Or is that just, or shooting your side gig?
Okay. I have a full-time job that I'm still working at right now, and shooting is just a side thing for me. It's just a weekend job.
I just got my NRA pistol instructor license. So like a month ago, maybe. So I'm kind of starting to get into that. Kind of starting to teach some women and people in my community, but it's very new.
What are you going to be teaching?
Just basic pistol, mostly. I feel like there's a lot of like women in my area and then like mostly Asian people that haven't really like had experience with firearms before. And there's recently, I mean, not recently, but since 2020, there's been a lot of like Asian crimes and just like robberies and just some crazy stuff going on. So I've been pretty interested in, you know, teaching women and Asian people, Asian like elders and just women in general to shoot.
So like self-defense carry type stuff?
Yeah.
I assume you guys travel around the country and shoot matches together at times. Any plans on going abroad and shooting matches?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, hope to. I think it's been, like, since I started, it's been a dream of mine to make it to the world shoot. And I'm hoping to be able to qualify for the next one in, I think it's 2025 in South Africa. But, yeah, I've heard about, like, the European Open and things like that. And I think that'd be a lot of fun to shoot. The, like, Australasia. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely be cool to shoot in a different country.
Yeah, I agree. Now, what matches do you guys normally travel to during the year?
We shoot like a lot of the in-state ones. We always shoot Area 4 Double Tap Championship, which is in Wichita Falls. We shoot a couple of like Houston matches. Are you shooting primary arms?
Yeah.
I think we're both shooting primary arms coming up. And then we usually shoot like Oklahoma matches. And then one of our favorite ones is Dragon's Cup.
So those are most like within the Texas area. I think the first one that we've traveled together would be like Area 3 in Nebraska.
Yeah.
That one's a really fun match.
The Area 4 match is almost in your backyard.
Yeah. Now it is. Yeah. Last year it was. And I think they're returning this year in Dallas as well.
What does training look like for you guys?
A lot of dry fire. I try to dry fire at least once every single day, even if it's just like, you know, I'll have my gun next to me while I'm at work. And obviously like the camera is off and everything, and I'll just like pick it up and just index here and there, pick it up, get him a grip. So dry fire every single day. And then I'll try to at least do a live fire, like 2 times a week, with a full-time job. It makes it a little bit difficult to make it out there, but try to make it work.
Me, I'm going to be honest. I don't dry fire as much as I should. I probably dry fire like once or twice a week, but ever since I started playing the Ace, I've been doing a lot of Ace. So I've been doing that almost every night. And then I try to live fire. I try to usually go once a week, but lately I haven't been able to get out that much.
And Jen, I was going to ask you about the Ace. So since you brought it up, now's a good time. Give me your thoughts on the Ace virtual reality system as it pertains to training for practical shooting.
I mean, I'm pretty obsessed with it. I really like it. I think at the end of December, right when they released it, I was kind of like the beta tester to how the purchase would go. So I was like the very first person to actually purchase it. But yeah, I mainly purchased it to help with my vision processing. And I think it's been really helpful. So I felt like I was kind of slow with my transitions and then just kind of like seeing the dot and everything. And then just like trying to stay target focused. And then ever since I started playing, I feel like I've seen like a big improvement in like how fast I can see the dot and like the movement and everything.
Exactly. What do you mean by vision processing?
I mean, just being able to like follow the, like, not follow the dot, but like my transitions and stuff.
Like shoot and move on to the next
one
immediately.
Like, I've been practicing, like, I know there's like stages and drills in there, but I'll use like those different stages to do just like different kind of things that I couldn't practice in real life. or not that I can't practice, but it would take a lot of ammo and like things that I want to like test out and stuff. I could do it through the ACE system. So that's been like fun.
And you say you play with it every night, huh?
Almost every night, yeah.
What are your thoughts on the realism with the grip?
Well, so the grip, it's not my favorite because it's a P320, and I know they're working on like a 2011. So right now I'm shooting my Infinity open gun. So I'm kind of waiting for them to come out with that. I don't think it has like been, I don't think it's like changed my grip for when I come back onto my 2011 and live fire, but you do really have to grip hard, and it's pretty accurate like to real life, because like if you move like an inch or if you jerk it or anything, like the dot really moves like as if what you would see in real life. And you know, when you shoot, the dot actually jumps and everything. So
T, have you had a chance to play around with it?
Yeah, I have. I think whenever they like when they first released, or not released it, but their beta was back when they had that Prairie Fire rank challenge. And I think that was at Staccato Ranch or something. Yeah, Staccato Ranch. And they showcased that, the ACE VR. And I tried it then, and that was pretty cool. And I was pretty excited about it. And then I tried it again recently after like all the upgrades that they've done. Like I think I tried it couple weeks ago,
yeah,
at an event, and it was pretty cool. I'm just kind of waiting for them to come out with the Glock grip, so that, like, I know Jen mentioned that she like doesn't have an issue with it, but I don't know, Glock grips are just so different, the angle of
the grip angle.
Yeah, so I don't want to you know, mess up my index or anything like that before I get into it.
Jen, have you reached out to Noah Senta at ACE? I know at one time their first grip module, I'm going to call it grip module, was a 2011. Do they not have any of those that you can get?
They discontinued that model because they want the new one to be more modular. So that's why they're working on a new 2011. That one wasn't as modular. So that's why they're coming out with a new one. But I hear that the 2011 and the Glock are in works right now. Out with like a holster, a lot of stuff to come.
It seems to be catching on rapidly. I did get a chance to play with it at Prairie Fire right before SHOT Show. It was quite the eye opener. I do believe it's a game changer, because one, it's fun, so it causes you to pick it up and play with it. Two, I mean, something you touched on earlier, Jen, was how much ammo and how much time do you have to spend getting to a range and coming back where you could strap this thing on and work on transitions, picking up your dot, making sure your grip is good and you can manipulate the trigger without messing up the sights. Because I picked that up. I'm like, oh, look, isn't this cute? It's a Wii controller. And I start looking and I start pulling the trigger. And I'm like, I'm missing everything. Oh, my God, I got to grip this thing for real. Yeah. So
pretty humbling, like from the first time you play it to like, you know, all the practice that I put in. So it's a big difference. I think I'm at over 180,000 rounds right now.
Whoa.
Just like, yeah.
In like 4 months. Mm-hmm. Or no, not even 3 months. Yeah. What am I saying?
180,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I watched your podcast with Tim Heron and Noah, and
okay,
he made a lot of great points about like how, you know, like a case of ammo is like over $200, you know, for 1,000 rounds, and like, so yeah, I definitely think I've gotten a lot of value out of it.
Any plans on getting one, T? Or you just said you're just waiting for the upgrades. Never mind.
Yeah. No, I definitely do plan to get one. Jen always tells me like how much fun it is. And I'm like, man, I want to do those Thursday night matches with you guys.
So we have like, we have matches every Thursday night now. And it's like 8 people per room. And Noah will send us like 5 or 6 stages. And as long as we're in a multiplayer room with like anyone else, or you know, you can do up to 8 players, as long as you shoot those stages, it'll get counted, and then he crunches the numbers at night and like usually the next day or so, we get like the results.
Yeah, and it sounds like I guess Noah's like the R&D, the developer guy, or like the owner of the company.
He's like the marketing guy.
Yeah, he's a marketing guy.
Yeah, every time I mention something to Jen, like, oh, I wish they had this, she's like, oh yeah, they're working on it right now. Oh, you know, we have this Discord and they talked about that recently. So it sounds like they're listening to all of the users' comments and like suggestions and everything, and really working with it. So I think that's pretty awesome.
It's still pretty new, you know, only like, yeah, like you said, like 3 or 4 months. So it's really nice that there's a Discord, like there's a suggestions, like a just suggestion room. And then there's like a mod room where, you know, they want people to like mod their guns and like make it better. So like there's this one guy that makes 3D printed parts. And so I've been like advertising that because it's been a game changer for like me playing as well. And it's like an easy kit that you can install, which comes with like stuff for like $20. So it's really cool that they listen to what everyone's saying, and you know, they're working hard to improve the game.
Didn't you post a video on your Instagram showing how you were replacing the parts?
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly it's gone from 0 to 60 in no time. I haven't seen anything really catch fire like this in a while.
Yeah, I know even like people who are outside of USPSA are interested in buying the game as well and getting into it. So maybe it's like a good introductory into competition shooting for those who actually don't do it as often or don't do it at all. And I think it's a good entry point.
Yeah. So like at the Thursday night matches, Brennan, do you know Brennan Conaway? Like him and I are usually in a room together and we always kind of host like the newer people. And like a lot of the people that we ask were like, oh, so do you guys shoot USPSA? And a lot of them haven't shot USPSA before, but after playing the game, they're like, yeah, I really want to go to my first match. And so, you know, we kind of try to talk them into it.
It goes over like all of the like RO commands and everything too. So you familiarize yourself with that before you actually get into a real match. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So hopefully we see a lot of new shooters and, you know, bring more people into the sport with the game.
I think too, though, that it's not just for competition shooters. Give me your thoughts on this too, Jen, but since you're going to be looking to get into training, I think this is something that for those, whether it be women or just people who lack self-confidence, they don't want to go to the range and make a fool of themselves or do something stupid. So they're more shy about going out and shooting in public. This gives them a venue to shoot at home virtually, become much more proficient, build that self-confidence, and then go out and be able to do stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a good start. Yeah, for people who are, you know, more nervous or scared to pick up a gun.
And I still see it as a good training tool for defensive carry, because now you can practice on certain things without having to, you know, burn live ammo. So there's just a lot of upside to it. Did you guys know that the founder was Asian?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't like actually meet him, but I saw him at the Prairie Fire Rank Challenge in 2022. But yeah, I knew that part.
I met him at Prairie Fire in January, and he's a British Chinese Mormon. So he told me the story of why he founded this thing, or, you know, came up with the idea. Was he lives in England, but he would travel to Utah all the time. That's why I call him Mormon. And he would shoot, but he's also from, you know, I guess his heritage is Hong Kong. So when COVID hit and they couldn't come to Utah and shoot, he's like, I got to come up with a way to shoot. So hence that's how Ace VR was founded.
Yeah, it's genius.
Yeah, I have heard that. But yeah, I didn't know.
Really nice guy. Super nice guy. All right. So speaking of SHOT Show, now, T, you were there for your first time. Jen, did you make the trip to Vegas?
Nope, not this year.
So, T, you said it was your first time ever being at SHOT Show. Give me your thoughts.
So, yeah, first time ever at SHOT Show. Pretty overwhelming experience. Like, I think I've heard about SHOT Show, like, the years prior, but, and I was like, I've always been like, oh, I want to go, I want to check it out. Working it is kind of different. So I was at the Glock booth every single day from like 8 to 5, basically. It was a really fun experience, like great learning experience. I got to sit behind the booth with all the sales guys and all of the Glock professional guys. And, you know, we have retailers and media people coming by at the booth all the time and asking like, hey, what's new? What new products do you have here? And I just kind of listen in, and they do the whole spiel about, you know, what's new about this gun and things like that. So it was definitely like a really cool experience. The overwhelming part of it for me was, like, I guess now I'm a Glock ambassador, right? So having media guys come to me to ask for interviews and being on camera, that's all new to me. Like, I'm pretty camera shy.
You have to break that habit.
Yeah. So definitely I have to practice that a little bit more. But I think I got there, I got to SHOT Show on like Sunday, and then we had range day on Monday, and then Friday was SHOT Show. And I remember, like, I hadn't seen the light of day from Monday through Thursday, and I hadn't even stepped outside to get fresh air, because by the time I was by the time I was done with the day, I was just so exhausted, and I just went straight to my room. And luckily we were at the Venetian, where the event was, where SHOT Show was. So it was an easy walk upstairs. But yeah, I just went straight to my room and just knocked out, got some dinner, watched TV, knocked out.
Did you ever get an opportunity even on Friday to walk around at all?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Every now and then we would have like breaks. I think like Tuesday, Wednesday, I was like all in with Glock. And then Thursday, Friday, I was like, okay, I'm going to go, you know, we had a couple of breaks here and there. So I went around to go explore, look at all the other booths. Got to see a lot of friends from the shooting community, like saw JJ.
I feel like everybody was there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun seeing everybody.
There were a lot of people there.
Like reunion. So.
Yeah. It's like nationals away from nationals.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun experience. Looking forward to next year.
What were some of your favorite things to see that wasn't Glock?
Like the Ace VR thing was pretty cool. I got to see, like, I got to play with like this other, like, it's not VR. It's not like you wear a VR mask or anything, but it's still like, I think it was like a pistol that had a laser in it with a screen projector, and you can like play around that. So it's really like an arcade game. So it was fun.
I saw a couple like different ones. That was really cool.
Yeah. And I remember like when I was shooting, I was doing a stage shooting that, like, my arms were so tired by the end of it and I was sweating. Yeah, it was fun.
So who all made it to SHOT Show for Team Glock?
It was Shane, myself, and Callie. So I don't know if you know Callie, but she's usually not in USPSA. She does tactical games. Like CrossFit with shooting.
With shooting.
She's a beast of an athlete. Like, if you go to her Instagram, like, she's pregnant right now. She's about to have her first child. I think she's due next month, either this month or next month, pretty soon. But she's still doing like handstand push-ups while she's pregnant. She's a beast. So,
that
yeah.
Poor child.
Bouncing around everywhere.
Right. It's like, Mom, calm down. Good Lord.
Yeah, she's super cool, like very genuine person. So the three of us got to make it out there from Team Glock.
What was your thoughts on the number of people that came by the booth?
Oh, it was crazy. So the Glock booth, so apparently, so this is my first year and my first year with Team Glock. And this year was a brand new booth. I think they change it out like every 5 years or something like that. But this year was like, the booth was amazing. I mean, that's all I know, but the booth looked really, really cool. And it was right when you first walked in to like the main hall. We were in hall A, hall B or something like that. And we had like a station over here and then a station over here. Like, it was, we took pretty much, as soon as you walked in, you saw Glock, which is really, really cool.
It looked huge.
And yeah.
Like, I saw y'all had like a square display, and then like, the other thing, the other room with like the screen. It looks really mm-hmm. cool.
It's a hell of a production.
Yeah. And the team behind it that made that happen is just amazing. Takes a lot of work, I'm sure. But the people, like, we had a lot of people coming by the booth, like, constantly. It was just craziness pretty much the entire day, every day.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's literally, as I've said before, it's a sea of humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, the Tuesday morning, so I came in from across the bridge. You know the bridge that you can cross over? I came in from over there, and the bridge opened up 1 hour after the show opened. And, I mean, it looked like people packed in sardine cans just waiting for the doors to open to get across the bridge. It was nuts. Yeah, it was I think they set a new record for foot traffic at the show this year. Because I go as media, and so I also have a membership with NSSF as media, and I got the email with all the numbers, and yeah, they set another record with the number of people that were there. It's crazy. It's like a small city.
Yeah.
It comes there every year. It's nuts. So you're going to try to get there sometime, Jen?
Yeah, maybe next year. We'll see.
You're along so that you can have someone to walk around with too.
So what that means is she wants you to carry her stuff. No, I'm kidding. We touched on this briefly before we went live. T, did you grow up playing any sports?
Yes, I did. I played soccer from like third to fifth grade and never scored a goal. I was not very good at it.
It's hard when you're playing goalie to score a goal. I mean, come on.
I played defense, so I guess that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. And then I played volleyball from like sixth grade through ninth or 10th grade. Ninth through 10th grade. And then afterwards, like outside of high school, I played flag football just for a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What about you, Jen?
T is very athletic. Like anything she picks up, like she's like a pro at it.
Yeah.
I didn't really play any sports growing up at all. I did kung fu for a little while, and then
that's pretty cool.
That's about it.
Well, and the reason I asked was because going through your Instagram, one of the things I liked about this picture, and you have a few others in there, is you are very balanced.
T,
you are very balanced. And I was looking at different pictures, and you can see the athleticism and the balance that you have while shooting. You had one picture too that showed it was another profile, and you're shooting this way. I mean, your back was perfectly aligned. You're perfectly over your heels. I mean, and the center of your feet. It was just like, she had to have played sports or something because the balance is too good.
I think volleyball really helped with that. Volleyball, like, you obviously have to get really low and you have to be able to have a like shoulder width stance, a pretty athletic stance to be able to move left and right and react to the ball really quickly. So I think that really helped with it. I think like lifting weights and stuff also helps. And like with flag football, I did a lot of agility drills too. So that kind of helped with like all of my ankle muscles and everything.
So you worked out for flag football too. I mean, what I mean by worked out for flag, I mean, you like did specific things for flag football.
Yeah. Yeah. We would always like, I would always play flag football just for fun, but we always had like a group of friends that we would play like league outside, and I did intramurals and then I did league on like certain days, and we would always like meet up and do like a little practice session. Like we'll just throw the ball around, or we'll do like ladder drills or agility drills and run routes and things like that. So
Jen, how far did you make it into kung fu? How long did you do that?
I think I did it for like 3 or 4 years maybe.
Any jujitsu in your future?
I'm kind of fragile.
Well, be careful. There's a dog right behind you. I mean, I don't want to scare you.
No, but I have lupus.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I've kind of grown up with it, so I'm kind of used to it now. But I mean, I can still do everything pretty normally, but it does affect me here and there. So.
Do you find that shooting matches over multiple days, does that have any effect?
Yes. Yeah. Whenever I do majors, usually by like the second to third day, it's pretty painful. I have both my hips replaced.
Damn.
It's pretty difficult, but
she's a beast.
Wow. I mean, it's impressive that despite that, you were still out there doing that stuff. So good for you. It's very young to have had hip replacement. I thought my knee replacement at 57 was bad, but goodness.
Yeah, I had both hips replaced by the time I was 25.
Wow. Is there anything with your diet you can do to help with that? Or?
No, it's more like weather that affects it. And then like just, you know, being on my feet a lot or like sitting for too long also affects it. Not much with my diet. I eat kind of whatever.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if like additional collagen or protein, stuff like that in your diet helps with, because it's a connective tissue disorder, correct?
Everyone's different. Mine was from taking, like I got the hip replacements from taking steroids for a long time. You know, necrosis in my bones. So that's what affected.
Moving on to other topics and we'll get off the depressing ones. What does your guys' shooting schedule look like this year?
We both have IPSC Nationals coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I know T has a lot of area matches.
Yeah, my schedule is pretty much packed for the rest of the year. I think I have like one major match at least every month for the rest of the year, or except for December, I guess. But yeah, I'll be doing that. And then I think this will be our first time shooting an actual nationals together, right?
Are you shooting
open
mats? No. Oh, IPSC mats?
Yeah, IPSC mats.
Oh, like squatted together?
Yeah.
Yeah, so T and I have never shot a nationals together. We're always either like shooting a different division or like a different squad somehow, but this is our first nationals together. So.
How are you guys going to take advantage of that to help you?
Just being supportive. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to share stage plans or anything?
Oh, we do. Oh, yeah. We always discuss stage plans together.
Yeah, we always share stage plans. And then like we'll discuss that, and like we're good videographers for each other. And
get closer.
Get closer. Well, like I started filming, like asking the camera people for me to film it in 1x or 2x in cinematic mode. And I think like Jen had it on like 0.5 or wide for a little bit. I think she's moving, switching over to cinematic now. So that's probably what it was.
I'm slowly learning from T.
Yeah, 4K cinematic, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is an old guy telling you, that's ridiculous. You guys are young. You know technology better than me. You should know that. Come on now. Put out a how-to.
Yeah, we usually, like when we travel together, we usually go Airbnb together and road trip together or fly together and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like we're always sharing snacks and I don't know, just having a good time with like a friend that you are really close with and shooting on the same squad with versus like, you know, taking things way too seriously or anything like that. Like, I think that's a little, I don't think it'll be fun.
All right. So let's talk IPSC Nationals a little bit. So that is a multi-day nationals?
Yeah. 3 days.
So at the end of day one, are you guys talking about the day and what you need to work on, that type of thing?
Usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
We usually stay positive, but
yeah,
we usually discuss that.
Do you come up with a strategy for the next day?
I think for nationals, I try to stay consistent, like, you know, just make it through. Don't try to keep the penalties low and stuff like that. But
yeah, I think consistency is like the overall goal for me too. Like I know how I shoot and I know like what I'm capable of. And so if I just continue doing it that way, then I know then that I'll come out successful and get the results that I want to. And I think like if I know I had like a mic or a no shoot or something like that, I try to like self-diagnose right after that stage and then focus on, you know, correcting whatever I need to on the next one.
Are you guys dry firing at the after day one and day two before day three, two and day three?
Yeah, usually. Unless we're just really, really tired. I think we have an AM schedule this time. I think it's going to be AM, AM, AM all 3 days. And so I think we'll have, like, we won't be so tired after, and we'll have a little bit of downtime in between the next day. So I'm sure we'll do a little bit of dry fire in between.
What's the weather supposed to be like for that AM, AM, AM? Do you know?
Yeah, usually it's nice. Cold in the early mornings, and I think we start at 7 a.m. every day, which is going to be rough. But yeah, so it's usually kind of chilly, like a light sweater, and then I think it'll be 70s, 80s throughout the day. So it's not bad. I think it's ideal shooting weather, personally.
I prefer chilly over hot, so I think it'll be nice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at the weather real quick here for Mesa, Arizona. And like today's forecast was a afternoon high of 75, morning of 65. So that's pretty solid.
Muneki is a local there. I don't know if you know who he is, but he pretty much like not runs those matches, but he like co-MDs those matches and builds stages and everything. And I asked him what the weather would be like in April. And he said it's going to be pretty much the same as November, where we had U.S. IPSC Nationals Aerie 2 last year. So as long as it's like that, then we're good. It's good weather.
I'm looking at it right now from Monday the 25th to Tuesday the April 2nd. It's all the highs run from 70 to 80 degrees. So it's probably going to be right around that probably 80 degree mark.
I like that.
Come mid-April. So yeah, it's not too bad.
I'm glad it's not in the summer because I heard it gets like 110 115 out there sometimes.
I'm not a heat person. Do not like heat.
Yeah, I try to hibernate during summer matches and hide for a few
minutes. I imagine if I lived in Arizona, I'm not doing a whole lot of shooting in July, August. Well, let's just say June to December.
It seems like all the people that are out there, like Jessica Morrow, Linda Turnbull, and I think Michelle Viscusi's out there too, like they seem to be doing all the summer matches still. So. Props to them.
They're built for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife would love it, but not me. But I would be the guy shooting in the cold weather. So I'm okay with that. I prefer cold over hot.
We don't like that either.
Now, are you guys shooting any other nationals together or just IPSC nationals?
Just IPSC this year.
So Jen, are you shooting any other nationals other than IPSC?
I think I'm going to, yeah, I'm probably going to be shooting Open Nationals.
And that's what, September?
September or October? I think it's October.
I think it's October.
Oh, yeah. They reversed the order of handgun and optics. So, yeah, it's mid-October in Alabama.
Yeah, I really like that range.
Yeah, I miss Alabama range.
I don't like the area around CMP, and I wish they had a few more bays.
Well, compared to like what we have in Texas, it's really nice.
Yeah.
What do you have in Texas? Why is it nicer?
Just like the scenery, the trees. It's just really pretty. And the
okay.
Bays are really big. Our bays are a bit smaller here. So.
Are either of you shooting carry optics?
I'll be there. I keep with telling her to come shoot with me, go back to carry optics, but she's enjoying open right now. But yeah, I'll be at carry optics nationals in June.
What are you running for optic on your Glock?
Right now, a Holosun 507 comp in red. I've shot SRO for a little bit, and then I just kind of switched to the Holosun because it was a larger window. I haven't done like a lot of testing with durability or anything like that. Like, I'm just gonna run it till it fails, I guess, and find out.
How are you liking it?
I like it a lot. Big window and crisp dot. It's been pretty good.
Now, are you doing just the dot? Are you doing the circle? What reticle are you using in that thing?
I just use the 2 MOA, and then that's it. Like, they have the option to put the little circle around it for like if you wanted to do like if you had a hoser match or a hoser stage or something like that. But I tried that one time and I found that it, like, I focus more on the dot than anything because it's just louder. So I just prefer the small crisp dot.
Jen, what are you running? What optic are you running on your open gun?
The SIG Romeo 3XL.
That's another big window. What size dot is that?
6 MOA.
How do you like that size?
It's nice. Yeah. I mean, I use it on a pretty low setting too. So the smaller, better. I think I use them maybe like second or third to smallest setting.
I feel like the bigger the dot, the lower the brightness you can go. But the smaller the dot, I feel I have to turn it up a little bit because it's so small. Do you find that T with the 507?
Yeah, I usually turn it on to the brightest setting on the small dot.
Makes sense. So you guys are shooting Area 4, which is literally right up the road. You guys probably just drive from home to shoot that.
Like 35, yeah, like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
It was like our home range.
Are you guys shooting any other? Are you going to do Area 3, Area 2?
Yeah, I plan to do Area 3, Area 2, Area 8, and maybe 5. I think out of all of those, Area 3 was probably my favorite. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
You haven't heard any news coming out of Area 8 yet?
What is it going to be at Bill Drummond's range, right? Drummond?
Pittsburgh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I heard about that. And there's like, he posted a video of like a school bus, which is kind of cool.
They're working on a school bus. Have you seen the roller coaster targets?
No.
Oh, you might want to look around.
Oh, crap.
It might be some interesting, some interesting moving steel targets.
Oh, my gosh.
Their goal is to make this talked about for a while.
I'm sure it will be talked about.
I'm actually going to be there because do you know who Jay Slater is?
Yes.
Okay, so Jay and I are going to be there, and we're going to try to do like a sports center thing for the duration of Area 8. Yeah, it should be pretty neat. So we plan on doing a few things, but...
You mean like coverage or...
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yep.
That's awesome.
Are you going to do like a play-by-play?
We're probably do some of that on on Sunday. Our plan is to try to do like sports center type highlight stuff on Friday and Saturday, and then actually talk about the results and what's going on live on Sunday. But they're busting their butt to put in new bays, expand things, working on targets. They got the bus coming in. I know some of the changes they made to the bus to make it a little easier for shooters. So should be a really, really good match.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Definitely be one of the highlights of the year for sure. So Jen too. I mean, have either of you guys shot Cardinal Shooting Center in Ohio?
Yeah, I shot that one last year for Curie Optics Nationals.
How do you like that range?
I guess like it was okay. It was different from what I'm used to shooting Nationals in Alabama. And that's why I said I really liked Alabama range and I missed that range because I thought like the layout was a lot better. They had bigger bays and the terrain was a little bit better as well. Ohio, I think like the zone one, which it was, they didn't have any side berm, so you had to shoot all downrange towards the back berm only. So that was like a different challenge. I heard, like I was in the clubhouse and I heard that the guy that was the owner of the range or something like that, he was asking me like, how do you like the range? And I said, oh, it's great. He said, oh yeah, we plan to expand it. Expand more of it and we'll add like 10 more bays or something like that. So I'm kind of hoping that's going to happen this year and they'll expand it and have more options for stage designs.
What'd you think of the weather last year?
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I remember seeing videos and I was like,
yeah.
I guess it got cold one day, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, rainy, cold. It was. I mean, I'm kind of used to shooting in the rain now, everything's Puerto Rico match, and so.
That's like shooting in a river. What are you talking about?
Puerto Rico and Louisiana.
Yeah. Yeah, and then.
It's like Nets last year.
It was muddy too, yeah.
Now, did you go to the Caribbean Open this year?
I did. Mm-hmm.
So you got to shoot when it was dry for once.
For once, yeah, for the first time. I shot that match for this would be my third year shooting it. And the first year was just rain every all day, every single day. And it's just pouring. Like we were like resetting stages. And I remember the water going up all the way to our knees in certain areas.
Good Lord.
And then second year was like kind of on and off rain. We still, you know, saw a lot of rain come down on certain days. And then finally this year was dry. So it was really nice. It was fun.
It looks like a fun match.
Yeah. The people there, I think what is what makes the match, like
hospitality.
Yeah, the hospitality of like Katia, the Rivieras, and you know, all of the people there, they're just super nice. And
in the paella afterwards at the award ceremony.
Yeah.
The what?
The paella. They make like this big, like two big ass skillets full of paella for everyone to eat after the
Okay, what is paella?
It's like a Puerto Rican rice dish mixed with like seafood and pork and veggies.
Oh, wow. Okay, I might have to go next year.
Yeah.
Talk me into it.
That was like the first time I had paella, and I would probably go back just to eat.
It sounds yummy.
Yeah. They make their reception like a big thing. They have drinks there, and then we also have the shoot-offs, which makes it really interesting, really fun thing to watch. Competitors go head-to-head, and then the food there, of course. So, and then they do award ceremonies afterwards where they actually have podiums where you have first, second, and third podiums on there.
Why do you think we don't have that at USPSA Nationals? How hard is it to make a little podium for people to stand on?
I think it just makes the overall winning experience like better, right? Like,
yeah.
A photo with...
Call up third place first, let them take their place. Call up second place, then call up first place. People can take pictures. You can stream it live. So many things you could do with it.
Maybe because they don't give us like trophies and awards then and there. Like they ship it out to you.
Oh, so they have to hand it.
Maybe one that's by
one. But you could still hold the fake one.
Yeah, they could just make a first, second, and third.
Mm-hmm.
They should do that.
And all it has to do is say first, second, and third. It doesn't even have to say division or whatever. Just, hey, here you go. It's in the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty simple. Little things they could do, I feel, they can make the experience that much better than what we're doing. Not complaining, just saying I think there are some areas for improvement. That's all.
Yeah, it should be a party.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm all for one big nationals at the end of the year. 4 days of 4 day match, 3 days of shooting, and then a big party Friday night. So that's my thought.
So like one nationals with all divisions, everybody.
Yep.
In one match.
24 stages. So you shoot 8 stages a day. AM, PM, AM. Just like World Shoot. You know how there was 5 days, but you shot 4, so you had a day off?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It's a 4-day match. You shoot 3 days with 1 day off somewhere in there. And Friday would be, so you'd shoot Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday night would be the big banquet. And then people can either hang out over the weekend or head back. Goals. What are your goals? Jen, we'll start with you. What are your goals in shooting?
Right now, I mean, I guess I'm kind of trying to make it to World Shoot. If it works out, it's not like...
Why kind of? Are you not sure?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm still working on a lot of stuff. I don't feel like I'm there yet, but it'd be nice to go.
Well, you're young, so the good thing is that even if you don't make it in 25, 28's an option.
I don't think I'm as young as you think I am.
T, what about you?
Same here. Since I first started shooting, my goal was always to make it into the World Shoot, represent USA. So I think that'd be really cool. And then like, eventually win a nationals or something like that. Just really be the best shooter that I can be.
You're trying to get there in carry optics. Jen, are you trying to get there in open?
I think I'm working more just for self-improvement. You know, keep.
All right. That makes sense. I get that. I was going to say, I mean, Jesse Harrison has it locked up in open. I don't think anybody's going to win open women's until she decides she's done.
So she retires.
Yeah.
I mean, she's dominated that division for years. She's very, very, very good.
She is. I got to shoot with her at Area 8 last year, and just watching her do it live was pretty, pretty awesome.
Did anything stand out like that she did differently, or is it she's just that polished?
She's like, she's just a really good shooter. She shoots fast, and that's like, she knows, she does really good transition. She just knows where to aim. She's, you know, just a great shooter in general. I don't see her like moving and blending positions as much like as I would probably, but I think like her style of shooting, it really works for her, where she can just plant you know, plant into a position and then just shoot everything what she sees and then move on to the next. And that, I don't know, she really excels at that. Her times are crazy fast.
Now, you guys had mentioned earlier that when you decided to get into shooting, you went onto YouTube, you watched videos, you looked at books you could get. Have you guys taken any classes from anybody?
Yeah, I've taken our first class together with JJ Rakaza. And that was
another half Asian.
yeah, that was like 3 months into our shooting competition shooting. So that was like very, very early on in our
career.
A lot of information to take in. Who else did we do?
That's like information overload at 3 months in, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And it took me probably about a year to actually understand a lot of the concepts.
Oh, I bet. What was something you guys liked in particular about his class?
For me, it was the movement part of it. I feel like out of all the classes I've done, and I haven't taken that many, but out of all the classes that I've done, like his was the most impactful in my shooting, because he taught me how to, you know, move efficiently throughout a stage, like exits and entries. And I think that kind of carried on over to like my success in shooting going forward. So applying all his movement concepts was really good for me.
What about you, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like my first like ever, I guess, like real instructor. So it was nice to like be able to learn that kind of stuff. And he went over fundamentals too, but like trigger prepping and just like the way he looks at targets as like attack or control targets, and then along with the movement as well. It was like good to learn those things early on and, you know, build good habits.
Any other big name people you've taken classes from?
We did the Infinity Experience last year, and we had like a 1 day class with Bill Drummond. I really enjoyed the way he explained everything. Was like really easy to understand, and the way he broke stuff down. So I think I would definitely take like a real class. Yeah, like a real class from him.
Yeah. I like Bill's teaching style. He's just very like straight to the point, and he's really funny too. So he'll make jokes here and there, just laughing every time he would say something. But yeah, Bill was good. And then we also took a Steve Anderson class a few months ago.
We did like a match mode, kind of like 1 day class right before Ipsic Nats. So that was kind of helpful, but I definitely want to take also a real mental management class from Steve as well.
Yeah,
I have taken his mental management. It is very good. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoy his podcasts.
Yeah.
He just takes that and goes way more into depth with stuff. If someone said, we're going to pay for one class, we're only giving you one class, who would you choose?
Oh, I forgot to mention, I also took an Eric Griffel class. And if I get someone pay for that, I'll do it again. Yeah, Eric Griffel.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think you could get someone better, but different instructors work better with different people. So just because he may be the GOAT of shooting doesn't mean that everybody's going to connect with him in a class. You know what I mean? What about you, Jen? Who would you choose?
I mean, if I could, I probably would choose to take a class from Eric Griffel.
Is it just because he's the GOAT?
That's a big reason. Yeah.
I think one of the ones I would love, because I don't know how much longer he's going to be teaching and stuff, would be Rob Latham.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I consider him to be the American goat. Yeah. I think that would be a very, just the years of wisdom that guy has is crazy.
There's just like so many good instructors.
There are a lot of them. I mean, if I were to write down everybody who I'd like to take a class with, I would be dead before I finished.
I really want to do Mason Lane and Christian Seiler eventually.
I think those would be good. I think Steggers would be good. Tim Herron. You know, there's so many of them out there right now that I think would be, and I think you would pick up something different from each one of them to just build on. So I don't think there's any one instructor who is the answer. I think they're all the answer. And they're all going to give you a piece of the puzzle that's going to stick with you. So, well, ladies, that's what I had. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you guys wanted to talk about?
I don't think so.
I mean, we got bubble tea in there, so we got that taken care of.
You covered a lot of stuff.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your story. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. Had a great time.
Until next time.
Don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.